I need to.
You need to, because that's a great great series. Probably the best series of all time on TV.
People argue that.
They do.
I was a big fan of Friday Night Lights and Game of Thrones.
That's a dichotomy there. I think they should do something called Friday Night Thrones.
That would be good. That would be good.
More football, more dragons, anyway.
Oh. Hey, gang. Welcome to the Amplified Podcast. Welcome to the inaugural episode one of the Amplified Podcast. This is Eric.
I'm Chet.
And today, we're going to introduce Amplified Team Training and really cover why we started Amplified.
Yep, because we build kick-ass teams and culture through the power of yes. That's what we do. And why do we do it? You know, a lot of it's because we both have experience with not so great team building.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and
Have been on not so great teams, or we've experienced, you know, leadership challenges or organizational challenges.
Right, and we've also been on good teams, right? I mean, or identified what makes a good team, and absolutely, we know how to get people there, and that's kind of what we're all about. And that's what this podcast is about as well, is to talk about some of the issues about things get in the way of good teams and good meetings and how to make it better, how to make it suck less.
There's a lot, yeah, making meetings suck less.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that podcast because that is a topic we will cover as well. So let's start. Chet, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and why we started Amplified.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of what Amplified is all about is the idea of building great teams. And, you know, I guess some of it stems back. I've been doing this training, actually, for 20 years now, which makes me sound really old. But I started pretty young. And I have a background in acting, in improvisation, doing comedy, live comedy with other people on stage. I also, though, have a background in corporate America as an advertising agency person, as a corporate, you know, my last corporate job was as the advertising director for Polaroid, kind of overseeing the North American advertising and PR. And, you know, a lot of what I was learning and doing and performing on stage, how we were out there working as a team and clicking and coming up with great ideas and feeling part of the team and establishing trust and moving ideas ahead, I really felt that on stage. And in some of my corporate jobs, and we may get into some of those and some experiences we've had as the podcast moves along, but they were ran antithetical to that. You know, they were very negative cultures, or people were kind of afraid to get their ideas out. People didn't trust each other. And I kind of felt like there's an opportunity here to take, to really, first of all, help diagnose what some of those issues might be with a team, and then put together a program that really gets at how to interactively impact people. Because it's one thing to say, we need to be better as a team. We need to be more innovative. We need to come up with these solutions. It's another thing of how do I do that?
Right.
And a lot of what I've done on stage, but then have translated into working with all kinds of companies all across the world,
yep,
is how to translate that skill set of things like the power of saying yes to people and creating that culture and building off of each other and hyper listening to each other and working is very applicable to how teams either do or don't do that.
Right.
And that's what I get passionate about. You know, I really love acting, and I've done it, and I've been in hundreds of live shows and sort of scratched that itch, so to speak. But what really I get driven by now is kind of imparting that to other people and having them drive better teams because of it.
Right. And we'll get more into, I think we'll wrap up this podcast with why improvisation, right? Why do we base
right,
a lot of our training on this? Because what's interesting is in kind of what's the word I'm looking for, reverse, like my career is different from yours.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Cause we'll go through my background real quickly, but it was, you started in theater and you started in writing and acting and in comedy and improvisation. You built trainings and you built shows and all these things. And that was your career for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas my entire career has been, sales, marketing, business development for technology companies. I started at a tech giant. I went from there after a few years of learning sales and sales processes and sales methodologies into how do I translate this to a smaller company. And I've gone to work now for 5 startups and helped build those from $0 in revenue to $100 million in revenue.
Yeah.
and as both a salesperson and a sales leader. And then one of the things that was really empowering for me was when I took improv as a training.
Yep.
I wanted to go learn the skill set of improvisation. I wanted to push myself outside my comfort zone and really to be a better salesperson, to be a better listener, to be a better leader. And then I realized at the same time how valuable the 2 years of training that I had to go through to finalize and complete the whole thing, how impactful that was to being a good teammate, being a good leader, being, you know.
Well, and I remember even you bringing in a, you know, I worked with one of your teams one time, and that got into as well the idea, and kind of the idea that I had is, you know, or sparked in me because of that is how do we work with people prior to say, what's the issues? What are you trying to do? Implement customized training and then do follow up, because I remember there was, you know, we won't get into
we're
going to
talk about that
or anything.
We're going to talk about that one too in another.
Oh, okay, all right,
for sure.
But that's called a teaser. Yeah, we just teased it, but I remember it sort of changing things, and that there's a funny story behind it as well. But that it kind of I think brought you around to the idea of man, this could be a really effective tool.
We're going to talk about aha moments, and that was absolutely an aha moment, right? So for those listening, I hired Chet to come in and work with my sales and marketing team. I had a team of 15 people, and it was our QBR, and this is a great use case for other sales leaders and other marketing leaders or business leaders. When you have your quarterly reviews, I brought Chet in because not only did we go over territories and pipeline and developments in the business, I wanted to do something fun and interactive, but also get value from it. Chet did come in and it was amazing. We're going to talk more about it. And that's where I had the aha moment, like, wow, this is, not only was my team thrilled about the training and the development that we did as a group, because it was very fun, it was very engaging, I was just like, that is amazing. Like, that's something I want to pursue later on. And I think I went to continue my improvisation training so that I could take the skills and what I've learned about sales, marketing, and building teams and building businesses and share that with others through this skill set that I had learned and you've mastered, you know, you can't ever master it.
But you can get more experience with it, probably. I think, you know, another thing why Amplified, why I love doing it is because, you know, I do have a corporate background as well. And I remember some of the team building sessions that we would do. And it was just, and I know we'll be talking about team building versus building teams as we go along as well. But just how they're, you know, people would roll their eyes or like you'd kind of do something together for that couple of hours and then it would just go back to the way everything was the same way it was before. Or it was just uncomfortable for people, or most of the team building. It's kind of funny that now I do teamwork and building teams because I used to hate that stuff. And I think that's why I'm so amped about Amplified is that it's fun to see people engage and actually enjoy the training.
Right.
But it's not just about enjoying the training. It's, you know, some of the best moments I have besides the aha moments are when people play back to us. That changed how we worked.
Yeah.
Or our next meeting, we employed the skill set that we learned and it drove better ideas. Or we are now more motivated as a team. Like, it's just really cool that we can affect people that way.
Yeah. And my team was affected by that. You know, we got to make the changes because we came out of there with a new perspective and a new understanding. And as a leader, it was very important for me to set a culture for my team and a direction of how we're going to work. And that training really empowered me to do that as a leader. But what was also very influential, I guess, for me was I started looking at our other business units and I'm saying, who's not working well together, right? And I've been with companies where we have a great product and terrible people. Brutal. Right.
Well, you get it though. A tough combination. Challenging people.
Not challenging people, because actually some folks were amazing. But what I mean by terrible people sounds terrible. I wish I could kind of just.
That's all right. We'll give you a slide.
Take that back. No, they weren't terrible people, but we had teams that did not get along, like did not work well together.
Right,
I had executives in product or in sales or in marketing that or engineering and continually butted heads. And it was palpable. Like it was, you knew that if you were in sales and you went to somebody in marketing and asked them for something, they would say no, just because the direction from that executive leader and the direction from our executive leader were totally different. There was no cohesion,
or you're not on the same page. Yeah, it's almost like to spite each other almost, yes, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I've been part of those too, where it's like, or don't go to that person,
right,
or don't go to that department because they're just going to say no, and we're going to work around them. We're going to cut them out of the process, right, which always comes back to burn you at the end because they need to be brought in at some point.
Exactly.
And then they're mad that they weren't brought in the beginning. So, you know, a lot of what we try to get at, I think, with Amplified and why we love doing it is because it works.
Yeah.
You know, it's not touchy-feely, and yet it's not just let's stand, you know, the training that we do is not just let's stand and drone through some PowerPoints about how we need to work better together. It's literally getting people up, getting them up and doing and saying like, all right, here are some things and here's how you can do it.
Right, exactly. It goes well beyond those. And that was the thing. I think we see, having been through team training and team building through, like, I've done F1 racing, I've done duck tours, these are things that are supposed to build teams, and we're going to talk about why that doesn't work.
Yep.
But this, you know, let's transition a little bit into why improvisation. Like, this is your backbone, this is your core, and you've had other professional experiences beyond that.
Yep.
I've been in technology and business development, trained in improv. What is it about improv? Why improv, for our listeners who are like, what does that have to do with building teams? Tell us about what improv is.
At the base, and here's how I sometimes relate it, is if you can imagine you're going out in front of people, you don't know what you're going to say yet. So in many ways you're unprepared, other than you know the skill set of what you're doing, but you don't know exactly what you're going to say.
Right.
High pressurized environment. You gotta produce almost instantly. You're out there with a few other people. You know, usually you're out there at least with a couple other people, but if not, a few other people.
Improvisation is an actor and two or three actors coming together on stage
to create something out of nothing.
Exactly. Okay.
Because sometimes people think, oh, you already knew what you're going to say, or you already
put it. And we don't. Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't. I mean, that's kind of sometimes a compliment you can get, is they thought it was scripted because of how well it was flowing.
Right.
But, you know, you go out there, you get a suggestion from the audience, you know, and improv is that. You're making things up rather than having something written already.
Right.
And so you're making it up. So the first line, you're making it up, and then someone else goes with that and works off it. And when it's working well, you very quickly get to an idea that the crowd thinks is great and they think mm-hmm. is wonderful. But if you went back and then said, okay, whose idea was that? Who had that idea? It really was not no one of our ideas, and yet it was better and more interesting and funny than if I just had to go out by myself and do a monologue on it. And I may be good at that or not as good at it, but it's more that all these possibilities happen and so much more happened because we worked off each other and we listened to each other, right, built off each other. And beyond that, though, you then walk out thinking, that was my idea. I did that. I was part of that. You know,
right,
that was our idea. And I want to keep working with these people because I was able to be heard. I was able to impact things. I was able to be recognized. I recognized other people, and we found success together.
One of the things that I totally true, and all these things are very great points about, and with things I learned in improv. And when I finished my training and we did our show, it was me and six other actors.
Yep.
And I had been through training with them for a long time. Like, I had been with a sales team for a long time, or been with a manager for a long time.
Right.
And one of the biggest things for me was when you go out on stage and it's that team member or that actor that you're with, there's a sense of trust that you have with them because you've been through that training together.
Yep.
And this is why, like, for me, it was kind of epiphany. Like, not only can we build teams, which is, and build that trust and build that understanding together over a course of time, we have the ability to impact cultures. We have the ability to, like, strengthen the way that teams work together across an organization.
Yeah, it's a great point.
That's a big, exciting point.
And it's something, because I've had the opportunity to be, invited as a guest to join other well-known groups or whatever. And so you do fall back on the skill set, which you can do this with anybody and just sort of do it. But when you have that experience and when it is an ongoing process, and that's something that we strive for with clients we work with as well, is to try to, yes, we can do one-offs and we do those, but the more we can engage, the more that culture develops. And I mean, you know, there's so much. I mean, I'm sure we'll get into a lot of this as we go along, but even like when to step up and drive things versus when to step back and let other people do it because they're killing it, you know? There's a lot of reasons why you'd want to consider improv. And it's certainly not the only thing that we sort of get at with the training we do, but, you know, we try to work with everybody to figure, or each client to figure out, like, well, okay, what are some of the issues? We can even diagnose some of those issues through different proprietary techniques to try to figure out, okay, what do you need to work on? And then we design a program around it. And it is improv-based, but it's not one program fits everybody. We literally customize it. And then from there, we can actually assess it, too, to say, did this work? What else might you need to work on? Or how do you impact some of the things, or how do you employ some of the things that you learn to keep on making it better? So it's not just about, here's a curriculum.
Yeah, totally. And what would you say, I mean, I'm kind of setting us up for a conversation, but for our listeners, our top use cases, right, as people are thinking about, you know, getting introduced to Y Amplified team training, they can check out our site, and we'll be doing a lot more podcasts on different topics. But for the corporate leader, the executive who's building a team, what are some things that are easy, you know, use cases for us to go help them with out of the gate?
Yeah, well, I think just that, executive team leadership. You know, we work with C-level folks all the way down to entry-level workers, you know.
New hires, right.
In fact, new hire onboarding is a key one. And I know sometimes for some folks that means, well, you know, they've got to learn the ins and outs of our processes and how we do things and our miraculous dental plan that we've got and all that. But I think new hire orientation is also a time to say, this is our culture. Right. Here's how we value people. Here's what we're all about. And that doesn't always come through in just the X's and O's of here's what you need to do and where you need to go for this. And so I've had experience with new hire onboarding where we've done it. Whenever there's a group of new hires, we come in and do it because I think we also set the tone. I mean, there's an element of bonding in the type of training that we do as well. So that's kind of cool and kind of a little bit of a motivational aspect of onboard hiring, of onboarding new hires. But it's also a, hey, this is how we try to work. Yeah. This is how we, what we value.
Yeah.
So then there's that. I think just broadly, we work a lot just in making your team better. Even if you have a good team or a high, we try to take that team from good to great, and we can show you how to do that. So, you know, at the crux of what we do, we build kick-ass teams. That's what we do.
Kick-ass teams.
And we can make it an even stronger team, or we can identify or help you identify what's getting in your way and why.
Of being successful.
And how to get past it, rather than just banging your head against the wall or avoiding it. We work a lot with, you know, how to get extroverts and introverts to work together. Because if you are a full company where, look, there are some people, sales tend to be extroverts. Engineers tend to be introverts. How do they communicate? How do they work together? We actually can do that really, really well in a way that everybody participates, but nobody takes it over. And I think, you know, one of the things I take pride in is a lot of introverts, when they do the things that we do, they're the ones who love it.
Yeah, they love it the most.
And there's always a concern going in, are these people going to love it? And they end up being the ones that love it the most. And hire us back the most, even though the extroverts, obviously, it's more comfortable for them maybe at the beginning, but they like it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so on top of kind of new hire training, executive leadership, right? Getting executive teams or C-level.
And how to be a leader, how to create that team.
Either creating the team or even getting the C-level suite working together.
That's a big
challenge in corporations too, is this C-level leader on the same page? Are they all marching in the same direction under the CEO? Do they all have a plan toward the same goal? And you'd be surprised how few do.
That is not always the case. right.
And coming from a sales background where, you know, I had hired you for our sales team and the sales and marketing QBRs or sales and marketing kickoffs, when you're getting your sales team together, right? Anyone that's customer facing in a way, the sales skills, the active listening that we train, that we train on, it could be customer success, not customer success, customer engagement, customer
experience.
Like if you're a retailer and you have store managers, like there's no vertical, I would say that doesn't apply to improvisation in the training that we do.
Yeah, and certainly for sales too, because so many times people are like waiting for the next sales point rather than actually listening and working off of what their potential customer just said, or knowing when to shut up because you just made the sale, so stop.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's because point number three might actually bring up some issues.
That's a big one.
Anyway, so there's that. I think there's also some exciting things that we have been able to do, even around DISC training, if we want to get in a little deeper as to what are the personalities of the people involved, what makes them tick, what motivates them, and how does that all fit together in the team? Because there are literally some ways we can diagnose, here's some ways your team probably works together really well,
right?
And here are some things that if they haven't already come up as pain points or issues, you got to keep an eye out for them, or they will come up just based on how people tick on your team. And then we can design a program to make sure that you're prepared for either when that happens or how to work through it because it is happening. So there's some exciting things we can do up front and on the back end. It's a little more involved, but more impactful when we're able to do that too.
Exactly. And so you can check out more on our website. We'll have podcasts every week and blogs associated with each podcast. So check out amplifiedteam.com for more use cases, more information. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Amplified Team, and then on LinkedIn, Amplified Team Training. But yeah, we are psyched to be launching this business. We're both very passionate about building teams, building cultures, seeing better results and output from people working together. I'm a firm believer that more minds are better than one. I believe you should not win or lose alone in sales. And it's the power of engaging people, scene actors, however you want to look at it from an improvisation or a business side of it. We see it both ways because we've been through it. But that's really, it's such a motivating driver because I've seen great companies succeed with great people working together in great cultures. And it starts
we want you to want to be part of that team and want to get up kind of enthused in the morning to be able to work with the people you work with.
Right. So more to come. Check out next week's podcast. We're going to have a handful of different topics. We're going to get into the power of yes versus the power of no. Team building versus building teams.
Including some horror stories.
Some very bad, tough stories of team building. And there's a few other great. What else did we have here? The misconceptions of yes and. One of my favorite titles of our upcoming podcast, Nothing Good Comes From the But.
Indeed.
And that's the term of saying but as a negating an idea. And we'll talk a heck of a lot more about that because we see that all too often. So thank you guys for listening. This is Eric.
I'm Chet.
And we will catch up with you guys on our next podcast. Again, check out amplifiedteam.com.